Hey, and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
I'm here today because PACE is being put on the back burner. Most of you will probably be going to the heavens above before we even get a shovel in the ground in Santa Rosa County on infrastructure. Infrastructure, transportation, public safety is our quality of life. And unfortunately, we need a local team of government to stand up and let's push for better future for our residents and our children.
Now, one correction. This is not Milton City Council Melodrama Theater, but what do we know about Milton government? Wherever it goes, it carries the drama with it. So the city of Milton decided to export a little drama to the Transportation Planning Organization meeting last week. And if you ask me my opinion about this, as in not a fact, but my opinion about this, is my opinion is that Heather Lindsay, the mayor, and this is not a sunshine violation, by the way, that Heather Lindsay, the mayor, asked a bunch of people to come with her to the TPO because she was going to try to do a thing. Okay, so Cindy Smith is a frequent flyer. Or I don't know if you'd call her a Pitchfork Proxy member or not. She might not be a founding member, more of a, you know, associate member. Anyway, they're at the TPO. So this is the Transportation Planning Organization. This is where they decide about road funding, project priorities, that kind of stuff. And Highway 90, that a previous council had moved down because the previous council was very, you know, they didn't even want the widening. And then Mayor Lindsay talked with them a bunch, and there was a split council. And anyway, it had been moved all the way down to, I think, 13. It's gotten all the way back up to 7. And, you know, the Santa Rosa County, Milton people are expressing frustration that nothing ever gets funded in Santa Rosa County. All the money goes to Escambia County.
My husband had a massive heart attack in 2019. I couldn't get an ambulance to him in time. I had to be the ambulance. 2 years later, he had another one. I couldn't get an ambulance there. I had to do it myself. We shouldn't be living this way.
Because that bridge is limited, and when it gets congested, even ambulances and cops cannot get through, and that's a problem. East Milton is separated from the rest of Milton, and so, you know, they're pushing for the Highway 90 widening project to be solved. Marilyn Farrow, who is a city councilwoman in Milton.
I'm going to ask you today to please consider moving the priorities up for the widening of Highway 90. You've heard from many citizens who live in the city of Milton, in Pace, in East Milton, of the difficulty of getting from point A to point B across the bridge. And it's really a matter of health, safety, and welfare for our citizens.
And by the way, she's right. I mean, I agree. Marilyn Farrow, Larry McKee, a city council member, and you say, well, it seems like a weird coincidence. All these people showed up the same day to talk about the same thing. Well, no, they were coordinated, and which is legal. Perfectly legal. As long as you don't talk to people about an item to come up before your board as a voting member, you know, like Heather Lindsay certainly would be within her rights to say to Marilyn and Larry, either in a meeting or out of a meeting, you know, hey, come with me to the TPO and talk to these people on my, you know, on our behalf. Let's get this Highway 90 thing raised up. Anyway, so back to Larry McKee, city councilman, also in Milton.
I do want to also reiterate that it's time that we let the voices of the Milton City be heard. Stop going past the Highway 90 expansion and accept the fact that we need it done. We need to move it up on the pecking order. Get it passed. Let's get some funding for it. Let's get it moving forward.
Let's do it. He's a former bus driver, and he says, as a bus driver, I saw this all the time.
I used to be a bus driver, and I'll tell you right now, buses can't get through there when they're trying to get kids to school or home from school on a daily basis. That becomes a serious issue around the city.
Yeah, that here to there problem, which, I mean, we are in an area that is water and bridges, right? You see this with the 3 Mile Bridge. You see this with the I-10 Bridge. You see this with Bob Sykes or Perdido Key. You know, everywhere there's a bridge to get somewhere in Navarre Beach, you know, there are issues or can be issues. And, you know, the bridge over the Blackwater River is 2 lanes. It's not enough. We've known it's not enough for a long time. And, you know, especially when, for example, you got emergencies happening or when traffic is bad or when there's a wreck or when I-10 gets closed because it seems to get closed, I don't know, every 10 minutes or so for something or other.
Just this week, accident on I-10, everybody's tracked back through 90. That's the normal route, how they reroute people when there's an accident on 10. And what happens is we put everybody out there on a road that's not designed for that amount of traffic on a daily basis, yet alone you add an accident on I-10. And everything gets backed up.
Which is true. They route it all through Milton when it's that part of the road, and then that's a problem. Okay, so that's the like public forum portion, and they didn't have a quorum at this point, so they're kind of hoping to get somebody to show up to the meeting, you know, that was in town but for whatever reason decided not to come. Delarian Wiggins decided to quit what he was doing to come to the meeting, city councilman, so that's good. They had a quorum. That's going to be important later. Maybe not quite yet, but a little bit later. Anyway, and so then they go through a bunch of stuff. They go through a bunch of agenda and eventually get back to this issue of, well, what should be the priority list? Again, on their priority list, you basically have the top three are the ones that actually get done. Everything after four is a hope, although sometimes those things get worked on in different ways. And when this meeting was starting, the Highway 90 widening, the bridge widening to four lanes, was number seven on the list. So well outside the top three, and it had been number 13 before, but, you know, it's been moved up. I know Kerry Smith has been working on this quite a bit. The commissioner, he's been working on getting it up for quite – I mean, he goes over to what's the offices for FDOT here to the east, and I just can't think of it right now. He goes over there all the time with Milton Bakery and tries to bribe them into, you know, do better, right? Like, help us out. Let's get some stuff done. Anyway, so Heather Lindsay, who is the mayor, like – just can't wait to announce her plan. Tell you about it in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Stink eye, John. All right. So it's brought to you by Florida West. Did you know the Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to create highways, jobs, and private capital investment that grow Escambia County's tax base? We are still rolling accident-free and delay-free. I'm not seeing anything that's going to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, I'll get to it. Trust me. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great selection of good quality used cars, about 300 on the lot. They sell about half of those every month. That means every month about half their inventory turns over and you get new cars, you know, new colors, new trim levels, new mileages, whatever. The point is, start there, but don't just, if they don't have what you want right now, don't just end your search, because chances are they'll be acquiring new things, but also they go looking for you. You know, what you can do with Frontier, it's kind of cool. You can go drive a bunch of different cars in one place, like a bunch of different, you know, brands, makes, models, see what you like, see what you don't like, see what the prices are, and then say, you know, look, I really like this car, but I would like it better in red. Or I really like this car, but I'd like to save some money. Can you find me one that's a year older or has 15 or 20,000 more miles on it? Or I want one that's like this, but the higher trim package, because that's what I prefer. And they go looking for people for cars all the time. Think of them as like your personal shopper, because they go to auctions and they go to all kinds of car buying stuff all the time. You know, 150 cars sold, 150 cars bought every month. So they're looking all the time, and they'll just call you like, hey, we're looking at this car. Does that kind of fit your parameters? Okay, cool. Well, we'll buy it, and we'll see if you like it. You can buy it, you know. And, I mean, you're not obligated, but that's the point. They can help you out with this. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Okay, so, John, I don't like you saying along with me.
I didn't make any noises.
I heard it. Be sure to tell him Andrew McKay says hi. Well, all right. I'll take it. So Mayor Heather Lindsay, City of Milton, who is up for re-election. It's election year. You know, don't count that out. She's up at the TPO, eager to do something for Highway 90.
I'd like to make a motion to accept the recommended changes, but also to make a change to the non-CIS intermodal, the non-strategic intermodal system project priorities. Really appreciate all the support from TPO staff to help Milton's voices be heard. I would love to see the what's currently Project 7 US 90 SR 87 North Stewart Street to CR 89 Ward Basin Road project as high as it could possibly go.
All right, so I'm not going to play the long clip of her explaining in words what she was trying to do. The short version is there's a 9-mile project in front of Navy Federal that she wanted to move. It's currently four. She wanted to move it to seven. She wanted to take Sorrento Road and move it up from five to four. She wanted to take the US 29, the connector from to hold it at six and move Highway 90 from seven up to five. That was her pitch. That was her pitch. Let's move it up to number five. That was the key thing she wanted to do.
Based on the information that I have available to me. And
actually, I'm just not going to play. It's too long. And she goes slow. But that's what she wants. She wants to move it to five. Keep that in mind. Five. Stephen Berry, who is the chair and also the District 5 Commissioner in Escambia County. The Highway 29 connector is in his district. The 9 Mile is either in or right close to his district. That one's like a 1 and 5 both, I think. I could be wrong about that, but I think that might be 1. Anyway, the point is it's close, but the Highway 29 stuff is definitely in his district.
So the US 29 connector is, I mean, that's wholly in my district. I'm okay with that moving down. I don't have an issue with that, but the 9 Mile Road project that it has.
Mr. Chairman, doesn't she need a second first before
we? Well, we're just discussing.
Okay.
I mean, we're just discussing it because I'm going to make a friendly request to that.
Charles Baer, would-be parliamentarian, aspiring parliamentarian. Well, can we even be talking about this? Because she doesn't have a second. And Stephen Baer's like, son, why don't you sit down? The adults are talking. I mean, am I wrong? Did I hear it wrong? Listen.
Chairman, doesn't she need a second first before we?
Well, we're just discussing.
Okay.
I mean, we're just discussing it because I'm
just like waving off a fly. The adults are talking now. Leave us alone. All right. So,
unfortunately, all the projects that we're talking about basically don't have, they're not in the construction, in the feasible plan, cost feasible plan, for a while anyway.
To translate, anything below 3 doesn't really matter, whereas because it's not being acted upon, not really. So it's more aspirational. It's a wish list, okay? So having something at 7 instead of 4 or 5 or 10, anything below 3, it kind of doesn't matter because it's the others. It's the bubbles. It's the outside, right? So he's like, that's fine. I don't mind. You know, good.
You know, if you're wanting to move the Highway 90 project.
But nobody explains what it actually means for your day.
That's where Andrew McKay comes in.
Alex Andrade, do the maps accomplish the goal of ending the race-based drawing? Do you think they were drawn for partisan advantage?
The first question, yes. I think it addresses race-based maps. It complies with the Calais decision, and it provided justification to pass the map yesterday.
The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
This is the graph I kind of showed y'all at the last meeting that showed the amount of 20,000 vehicle days that we have through the toll plaza. And just a reminder, 20,000 is our benchmark for a busy day. That's when we start seeing congestion and parking lot filling up. So we now have the full 2025 numbers. So you can see there was significant growth just from the previous year of 10 more occurrences of that happening. And then far this year, we've already had 20 occurrences of it in 2026. And that's as of May the 4th.
All right, this is a guy whose name you probably never heard before, Destin Taylor. Destin, D-E-S-T-O-N, Taylor. He's a traffic engineer with DRMP. They're a traffic management company. I think they're based out of Orlando, but they do a lot of the traffic studies and evaluations and stuff. And he's talking about Pensacola Beach, and he's talking about how it's a lot, okay? And, yeah, of course, you've seen the headline or you've heard the headline that we just broke a record that we had the highest vehicle, single vehicle traffic day on Bob Sykes Toll Plaza. 27,690. The previous record was last year at 27,674. That's not just interesting because it's a high number. It's because it's a high number on May 19th. Like, we haven't even gotten a Memorial Day yet. So it's early and high. That means almost certainly that record will be broken again, possibly several times this year. And what he's talking about is a look at the overall. Okay, look at the overall picture of traffic on Bob Sykes Bridge out to Pensacola Beach. And what you see is already, even so far in this year, you know, there have been 20 days where there are over 20,000 cars in 2026, 20 days. And we are not even through May yet. And we have been increasing every single year. If you look at the chart, it's a very interesting chart. I'll put it up on our Facebook page when I get a minute. But the chart shows that in 2016, the highest peak day was 22,000, and there were 10 days over 20,000. 2017, the highest peak day was 22.5, and there were 12 days. 2018, 21.5, so a little bit lower for the peak day, but peaks don't really matter. It's the average overall, 12 days. 11 days in 2019, then COVID hit, 14 days, okay? 2021, 8 days. 2022, 20 days. Here's where you start to pay attention. The peak traffic was 23,000. 2023, 25,000 and 41 days. So 41 days, over 20,000 cars crossing Bob Sykes Toll Plaza in 2023. In 2024, it was 56 days with the highest day of 27 grand. in 2025. It was 66 days last year, with the highest of 27 grand. Again, just a little bit above that was the highest. And so far this year, we already had, before this got published, a 27.2 day, not to mention the one that just happened that was above even that. But we've already had, like I said, 20 of these days, and we're barely into the season. So this is what Destin is preparing, or presenting, sorry, to the TPO last week.
This breaks down it even further to the months that it occurred, and then also the date that the day of the week that it occurred. It's actually, we actually had a 20,000 vehicle day every single day of the week. So we had a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, all the way through Saturday of 20,000 vehicle days. And then also the middle graph just shows that what we kind of already know, June and July is your busiest days, with the multiple 20,000 vehicle days, with May being the third.
Okay, what he's getting at is, if you look again, they did this, a really interesting chart. It shows in the month which days were passing 20 grand for Bob Sykes out to the, Pensacola Beach, and then which days of the week were also having 20 grand days. And if you look at that, as you would not be surprised to find out, that typically in a given year, up until 2022, there were no days Monday through Thursday that popped 20 grand, because nobody goes to the beach that much. I mean, it's a work day, right? When you get into 2023, you start to see a Monday, a Tuesday, two Thursdays. I mean, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, of course. Well, Saturday, Sunday, of course, Friday started to grow too. In 2024, you had a few more, and then last year, you had every single day of the week at some point during the season was a 20,000 travel trip day, 20,000 cars passing there. So it's not just that it's growing in, you know, total visitation. It's growing in the maximum on any given day. It's growing in the number of days that are at a large number, 20,000. And it's growing across time as people are adjusting. They're going during the week. You know the weekend is going to be super busy, so you go on a Wednesday instead. All of those things are happening.
I also want to point towards that first graph up at the top. So that's the maximum amount. That's the max count that we got that for those years. Max that we've ever had recorded at Pensacola Beach was 27,600 last year. And look at 2026. So already we've had a 27,200 vehicle day go through the toll plaza, and that was on April the 11th. That's the earliest we've ever had a 27,000 vehicle day ever recorded. The previous earliest was last year during Memorial Day. So,
and we just had another one that broke that record and broke all the records, and it's still not Memorial Day, right?
So nearly every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in the beginning in March and ending in August is a 20,000 vehicle day now. The total amount of Friday, Saturdays, and Sunday 2025 during that from March to August was 80, and only 24 of those were under 20,000 vehicle days in 2025. So we're running out of Fridays and Sundays, so we might need to start looking at a new benchmark number to accurately show your growth. It's easily to see that near record breaking days are becoming more common now.
So if you count all the Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays from March through August of this year, of last year, you get 80. There's 80 Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays in the high season. And I came to a different number than he did, but similar. It's real close. 64 of those is what I counted. Matt, we had 64 of the 80 were over 20 grand. And if you think of 20 grand being kind of like right at capacity, or, I mean, well, 27 is at capacity, but like that's a lot. And that means, you know, it's just becoming overwhelming what's happening with the traffic to Pensacola Beach, especially on the weekends, but also it's starting to bleed over into the weekdays as well. We'll come back with kind of, you know, what to make of this in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free, also delay-free right now. I'm not seeing anything to slow you down. John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Okay, so the net takeaway so far should be that Pensacola Beach traffic has gotten to the breaking point, to the max. Like, we're really, it's at a crazy situation right now. And that crazy is not just any longer confined to during peak season only and certain weekends, you know, and only Friday, Saturday, and Sundays. It's starting to bleed over into the weekdays. I mean, we just, you know, we just had a highest day ever over the weekend, but it's going to get to be during the week where it's going to start to become hard to get to the beach too.
I just wanted to bring it up to the board here that we're at our breaking point. So when we start getting and start seeing more congestion on 98, there's not really much more we can do from a technology and signal operations standpoint. We've pretty much maxed out the capacity of those roads with the technology that we have. So we need to start looking at future mitigation strategies. So
right? This is as much as we can handle. We can't change the traffic lights. We can't change the way we manage the roads, Highway 98, all of the things that the TPO or that the traffic management system, the ATMS, it's going to be at the regional traffic management facility over there on W Street when that gets built, but is operating now out of, some closet somewhere, they're doing everything they can and they're at the max. There's only so many cars you can put through Bob Sykes Bridge onto the beach, through the traffic light there even, and then into parking spaces on Fort Pickens or Vita Luna, right? That's it. That's what he's saying is we're at the max we can do. Beyond that, I mean, the cup is full. The throughput cup is full, so to speak.
Promoting the trolley, promoting biking, promoting the ferry are some good things. I know it's difficult because, it's a beach environment, so everybody's wanting to bring their chairs and their cool. It's something that we need to try to figure out a plan for because obviously our volume slowing down in Pensacola Beach.
So part of the problem is people aren't, and the solution is some other way. I mean, or you build a 6-lane bridge and you widen to 6 lanes everywhere. You mean like build parking structures? I mean, what are you going to do? It's choked at every point of the access. Like we're at our maximum capacity is what he's getting at. And he says, in fact, by the way, one of the things he's going to say a little bit later is he's going to say, we probably need to redefine our definition of high volume day because it's just where they're all high volume days at 20,000. Maybe we should have a 25,000 day as a measurement tool because 20 is not high enough. But he says the problem is volume, demand, of course, but it's also the rush. It's the lunch rush and the dinner rush, and people want to go to the beach at certain times, and they all want to leave the beach at certain times, and that's why you have the problem. It's not, if it were a little bit more steady or even out, we could handle more, but we cannot because everybody wants to go at the same time.
I pointed out everybody arriving at the same time and exiting at the same time. We just need to try to encourage arriving early whenever we get a chance to talk about the beach. It can happen when it's there all at the same time or exits it all at once.
So what do you do? Well, one question I had in listening to this is, I know some of my dear friends are going to be upset at me for raising this question, but here goes. So we're trying to build a convention center to bring more people to Pensacola who will do what? Okay. We're always talking about bringing more people here. What I hear Destin from DRMP saying is we're done. We're over. We're at it. We don't need more. I mean, more are coming anyway. More are moving here, more are visiting, more are discovering it, which is all good. But we just don't have space on the bridge to get them there or at the beach to park them there. I mean, if they come at different times, it'd be all right, but they don't. Because humans are humans. So should we keep stuffing the sack full when the sack is full? Now you might say, well, what about Navarre? A good question. That was also in the presentation. Navarre is kind of steady. The Navarre Beach Bridge, 7,500 car days because it's a 2-lane, right? And they're counting them at the traffic light, so it misses a couple. But, he says 7,500 car days are pretty consistent.
So this is a 7,500 vehicle day. So it's a comparable to the 20,000 day it's a 2-lane corridor, so it's a different from the 4-lane corridor in Pensacola Beach. But 7,500 is when we start again, noticing congestion, noticing parking lots getting full. So a couple of caveats: 2022, we only had started getting data collection when the signal was built. So this is southbound; you have to actually go through the traffic signal, so we're not capturing traffic, but it's still a good representation of the growth there. So this is the 7,500 vehicles through the toll plaza and how many times that occurred in each year. So as you can see, there's not a ton of growth.
Yeah, not a ton of growth in Navarre Beach Bridge. That one's pretty consistent, right around 40 days of 7,500 a day.
So it includes Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays from March to the end of September, but it still shows an accurate representation of the growth or lack thereof in this case. So we've only had 12 occurrences of that this year so far. But we could probably guess that it's going to be around that 39 to 40 mark.
So Pensacola Beach is busting at the seams in terms of infrastructure to get to the beach. Navarre Beach is kind of just, staying fairly steady. So, you know, what do you want to do with that information? 437-1620. Oh, look, another record day. Let's do nothing. you know, right? Okay. Somebody says, I'd love to see that Pensacola Beach traffic chart with a weather overlay of some kind. I'm always curious how the weather impacts traffic to the beach. I'm sure it does. Just look at the bad weather days. Somebody else says those will be the only days that have less than 20,000. So it's really a total cluster because it's just a matter of that. Let's see. Somebody says, good morning, Andrew. Listening to your Pensacola Beach car count this morning, and that's exactly the reason I'm moving from Pensacola. I've been here since 80. Can't get to the beach anymore without all the crowds, all the traffic. So I give up. I'm leaving. One proposal I had mentioned others before was some kind of beach parking, off-beach parking and shuttle service, and use the trolley system. That doesn't seem to be happening. The ferry comes close, but you can't park out there, and your stuff and the inconvenience of the ferry and the cost of it, all that. Somebody says, do they still toll the bridge at a buck? Yes. Yes, that's right. When it's actually, what, $350 or $450? No, I mean, it's a buck. It's always been a buck. Somebody said, well, it's been a buck for a long time. Finite parking is made crystal clear by former Sheriff David Morgan years ago, and everybody knows that, right? That's agreed. Somebody says, what about a use-based fee? I mean, I'm not going to advocate for it, but I understand the question. I mean, at some point, if you got a free thing or a buck thing, you know, then I hate paying for, I hate paying a toll. I hate paying for parking. I love what this town was when I moved here, and I think still is, but we don't go to the, I mean, we don't go to the beach a lot anyway, but we don't go on Saturday. I mean, I'm not stupid. Why would I? You know, we'll go on a Wednesday or a Tuesday, and I'm lucky enough that I have a schedule that we can make that happen if we want to go. Somebody says, our good friend Jonathan Owen says, more is not better. Better is better. Right, yeah. And says, stop using TDT money for advertising and start using it for infrastructure. Let's see. What did DRMP define as at capacity on Pensacola Beach? How did they define it? Well, they were saying the high volume days, the 20,000 car days is their definition. And even he said we should move it up to probably something else. He didn't give a number, but probably something else. Somebody else says it doesn't help that they still have 100 or so parking spots tied up with heavy equipment. It doesn't help that they have a cluster of getting through the toll reading system, although that's going to get better with the new thing. So anyway, just, you know, this is our town. This is what's going on. I wanted you to be, this was the kind of the context behind that. Oh my God, we had one really busy day over the weekend. That it's not just that one really busy day over the weekend. It's become a pattern across time, days of the week, across the whole season, to a greater or lesser extent, depending on when and what day and weather. I'm sure y'all are right about that. But, you know, this is a problem that we need to be talking about, because guess what? The problem is not getting less. The problem is getting more every year. And it's not like we can just build another terminal at the airport, at the beach. You know, we can't just build a third beach. You know, go to Perdido and the Peter people are like, no, there's nothing here for them. And it's not the same. So anyway, I don't mean to be the voice of despair, but, you know, I want you to know what's going on. Okay. This is your town too. And, you know, maybe, oh, somebody says, what about surge pricing? Make the toll cheaper for early or late traffic, regular rates for peak time. Well, you'd have to raise the rate to make it discouraged. Nobody's discouraged by a dollar versus free. But, you know, if the, what, 10 a.m., you know, you paid 10 bucks. Well, then, you know, only the rich people go to the beach or whatever. But, I mean, those are the questions we're going to have to start asking. Or we could just sit back and say, well, you know, the world is what it is. There's nothing we can do about it. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Wow, thanks.
Yeah, happy times, right?
All right, so let's see here. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 look good. 98, 29. Highway 90 are all rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you have a business, you have employees, you have to manage payroll, you have to manage, you know, HR, you have to manage employee benefits like health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability. And these are probably not the things that you wake up in the day excited to do. You'd kind of like to get a solution that takes care of itself and you don't have to think about it because it's not fun. Well, call Torgerson Consulting. This is what they've been doing for more than two decades for local businesses. I know they've been working with us here for 5 years at News Radio and Cat Country, and they've been great. Now, they're not miracle workers, okay? The marketplace is what it is, but they go find the best plans available, and they present them to us, and then we get to choose. I know with the company we're working with before, we didn't really have choices. The choices were not as good, and the customer service was, well, it's better now. I'll just say that. It's much better now. My wife, who's an industrial engineer, very much cares about the details. Like, she'll read the policy. You know, that's who she is. And so she'll ask questions. And a lot of times insurance people or benefits people are like, I don't know. You know more than I do, which is usually true for her. You know, might be true for you, too. I don't know. But with Torgerson Consulting, it's not true. They're experts. And they really, they know their stuff, which is fantastic. So have them come take a look at what your business is doing and see if there's a way to do it cheaper or better or both. 433-9996 for Torgerson Consulting. Check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, happens every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulf Sound Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. You can bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's Vibe Irie. Innovative and multifaceted reggae party band from Pensacola. They play an electric selection of reggae, calypso, and trop rock hits, as well as original songs. So come on out and enjoy Bands on the Beach this Tuesday. Just remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Tune in Thursday at 10 as Ray Palmer with Pensacola Sports will be the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Pensacola Sports' focus has and always will be on education, inspiration, and participation in various team, individual, amateur, and professional sports activities. Tune in Thursday at 10 as Pensacola Sports will be discussing the upcoming events that are on the calendar.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions.
You're talking about it. We're talking about it.
The midterm elections.
Who will win? Who will not?
It'll all be covered on News Radio 92.3.
But this car could be systematic, hydromatic, ultramatic. Woo! Why could be greased lightning?
If you're a normal human over the age of 40, you're still singing the Grease Lightning song, just like John is.
You know what? You should have went directly into that song.
No, I don't work that way. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Patrols being stepped up around mosques and other houses of worship after the attack in San Diego yesterday. Investigators say two teenagers killed themselves after they murdered three adults at the Islamic Center of San Diego on Monday. Police believe that attack was motivated by hatred. Primary elections are taking place today in six states, with U.S. House, Senate, and governor races all on the ballots. Voters are heading to the polls in Alabama, Idaho, Kentucky, Oregon, Pennsylvania, and Georgia.
All right, we'll find out the Thomas Massie question today. Will his constituents elect him again to be a troublemaker in Congress, or will the Trump onslaught win? Will the key influence of Secretary of War Pete Hegseth discourage voters from voting for him? We'll see.